Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
I think one of the biggest ones is the opposite of your situation, where the client or one of the parties going through divorce is completely ill-advised and has no concept of their finances, has no idea about the assets of the marriage, of the debt that the parties might have. And that really can put that individual in the divorce process at a huge disadvantage. Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is avoiding divorce financial disasters with Jason Reynolds, the host of the hit radio program, Women, Money, and Power. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. We're so pleased to have Jason Reynolds here with us today to talk about divorce financial disasters and, more importantly, how to avoid them. Jason is the founder and CEO of Collaborative Financial Consulting in Beverly Hills, California, and his firm is dedicated to being a meaningful and compassionate resource for financial advice and solutions to individuals and families affected by divorce, separation, and other life-changing events. In addition to divorce financial planning, Jason's firm provides insurance planning, individual financial planning, investment management, tax reduction strategies, and education planning. As Rebecca mentioned earlier, Jason is also the co-host with Carrie Kasem of the hit radio show Women, Money, and Power, which airs on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on KABC AM Talk Radio. The show is focused on providing women with strategies to control their financial future. So welcome, Jason, and thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Truly my pleasure. Thank you for your show. Your show is doing great things as well. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And I want to say welcome, Jason, as well. And thank you also for having me on your show. I was fortunate enough to be on Jason's maiden voyage show. He took a big risk by having me on as his very first guest.
A very small risk.
So we appreciate you being here with us today. Financial issues in divorce are a huge part of every divorce and the divorce process, and mistakes when negotiating divorce settlements have long-lasting consequences, as we all know in the industry. And today, we are going to be pointing out some of those biggest mistakes so that our listeners can avoid financial disaster if possible. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, Jason. You are a member of the Los Angeles Collaborative Family Law Society, the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, and CPCAL, and your firm is even named Collaborative Financial Consulting. Perhaps you could explain for our listeners what it means to be a collaborative financial consultant to couples and women who are going through divorce.
Thank you very much. I've been in this business 23 years come January. I can't believe that I'm even saying that. For years, I'm a Beverly Hills-based financial planner. And so for years, the firm was Beverly Hills Financial Planning. And one day, I got a phone call from my divorce lawyer, who was also a client, and said, "Jason, I'm going to send one of my clients over to you. You are uniquely qualified to help this woman because of your independence. I've never been tied to any one particular company or beholden to any particular product." And he asked me to meet with this woman, and I met with her. And it was a very emotional meeting. She was going through a very painful divorce experience where her ex husband was an attorney, and he kind of knew all of the ins and the outs, and he knew all of the people that he was dealing with on his side on how to be vindictive, really, was the bottom line, and put her through the ringer. And when we had that meeting, after that meeting was over, I said, there's got to be more women like her out there that I am uniquely qualified to help. And so I did a little research. I did a lot of research, I should say. And over the course of the next couple of months, I decided to completely rebrand my company. And now we have been, for going on 4 years, Collaborative Financial Consulting, based out of Beverly Hills, but we have a footprint in multiple states. And the Collaborative Financial Consulting motto is plan, adjust, achieve. And so what we want to do is create a comprehensive financial plan to give our clients the control that they need to be in, because when you're going through a process like the divorce process, things can get out of your control pretty quickly, as we all know.
Very quickly,
right? And so Collaborative Financial Consulting was designed specifically for women going through the divorce experience, because we are independent, we're comprehensive financial planners, and so we're goals based, and we're emotionally based as human beings. We want to have a relationship with our financial planner, because hopefully we will be working together for 20, 30, and 40 years. So we're just not here to put you in a product or invest your money. We're here to work collaboratively as a team to make sure that you are able to achieve what you want to achieve. And because sometimes you walk into other financial services firms, and I tell my clients, sometimes those other financial services firms are hearing you but not really listening. No matter what you come into their office with, they will put you in that little box of what they're offering for the day is. And at Collaborative, we're not like that by any stretch.
I wanted to just mention that the mistakes that you're going to be talking about today that we would like our listeners to avoid in divorce aren't necessarily specific to women, even though you work specifically with women. The mistakes we're going to be talking about today are not exclusive to women.
The mistakes are universal, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
And there are a lot of them that we see sort of commonly in divorce. Jason, I was reading your bio, and one thing that really struck me is that, you know, you have been educating yourself and immersing yourself in the financial world since you were 13. And you actually became a registered investment advisor at the age of 19, which is, you know, really an amazing accomplishment.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's been, you know, that advanced at such a tender age.
Were you the youngest in the country? Did they let you know if you were?
You know, I've had informal conversations at that time, or really when I was at NYU, and I was told that if there is anybody younger out there, the higher ups have never seen it before in their lives, and these were well connected and well entrenched industry professionals that have been around a long time. There's really no way of knowing on my end, really only, you know, back then it was the SEC, now it's FINRA, but only they would know. But I, in my 23 years, I've never come across anybody. I've met hundreds and thousands of other financial advisors, and I've never heard anybody else get in that age.
Wow.
I've never seen it.
Well, it's really impressive, and it's also just points out, in thinking about the mistakes that I have seen people make in divorce, I think one of the biggest ones is the opposite of your situation, where the client or one of the parties going through divorce is completely ill-advised and has no concept of their finances, has no idea about the assets of the marriage, of the debt that the parties might have. And that really can put that that individual in the divorce process at a huge disadvantage. So I was wondering if you could just discuss that particular divorce mistake, being uninformed, and maybe give some pointers to someone who's facing a divorce and finds themselves ill-equipped or ill-prepared.
Yeah, I'll give you the example that's closest to my heart and what got me into financial planning. And I know that the three of us, we're all about divorce, but my foray, my entry point into quote unquote financial planning is because my mom made every financial mistake you can make. My mom and dad didn't get divorced. My dad passed away. But when I was a kid and his health was failing, my mom and dad made every financial mistake you can make. And I watched it as a child. I watched this train wreck happening, and I couldn't help. I felt helpless. And that's what got me so passionate. That's what got me the love for what I do, to change people's lives so that they don't make the same mistakes that my parents made that affected me and affected my brother and my sister forever. It affected our financial life forever. And the mistakes that my mom and dad made, my dad was a small business owner and he didn't think about his business succession plan. You know, we were talking before the show, my dad was the town plumber, right? I grew up out in West Virginia, out in the middle of a small little mountainous region, you know, on a dirt road. I grew up out on a dirt road. And my dad was the
from,
only...
From a dirt road in West Virginia all the way to Beverly Hills.
To Rodeo Drive.
Yeah. What an incredible story.
It's been an amazing journey. I'm very blessed and I'm very lucky. And I've been on the front lines from the time I was a kid of watching and observing. I call it my inner eyeball, right? Or my third eyeball, right? Where I'm able to observe the pain and the suffering or the journey, the challenges that people are going through. My mom and dad made every financial mistake you can make. My dad was the town plumber, didn't think about how his death was, he was going to keep the business running. He could have had a multi-million dollar business empire, or more specifically, I could have had a multi-million dollar business empire if he would have taken 15 minutes to think about it, and he never did. And then he didn't think about life insurance. He didn't think about the legacy that he was going to leave for his wife, who wasn't working at the time. My mom was taking care, raising three kids. As my mom always said, I was raising babies.
Is that the West Virginia accent?
That's the West Virginia accent. I said, Mom, what were you doing during the 80s and the 90s? I was raising babies. I couldn't watch TV and listen to music. And so I watched my mom make all of these mistakes, and my dad didn't think about what his death was going to have on the impact of the three kids that he had of going to college and things like that. And then even after my father passed away, we were able to receive a settlement from the U.S. Navy from the result of his death. And my mom had no idea what to do with that money. When it comes to being in the dark, whether you're going through divorce or you're going through separation, or in this case, in my personal case, the death of a loved one, the experience is similar in that you have there's no one-stop shop resource of where you can go to find the solutions that you need and find the people that you can trust to help you. And that is the key in today's world, is finding that resource for you that will be a teammate for you. And that's why ultimately I started collaborative financial consulting, because unfortunately the financial services industry, they're not your teammate. They're not invested in you as much as they could be. And I've seen people make the mistakes of trying to do it on their own, and it costs them thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands over the course of time, all because they don't know where to start, and they might end up with the wrong professional or the wrong team. And so I always tell my clients, we will be a resource for you to bring on the best professionals, that we can introduce you to, like Rebecca and like Susan, who are going to be able to be the best resource for them as possible to help enlighten them and guide them, be a light at the end of the tunnel.
So it sounds like, and this is something that I've often explained to clients, that one of the first steps in not making that mistake of going into your divorce uneducated is to be proactive and not necessarily have to educate yourself, but pull together the right team to help you.
That's absolutely right. And it's very difficult to find because a lot of times the individual would go to a lawyer, and that lawyer may not necessarily have the best team around them. They're focused on what they do best, right? And so they may not have the best connections or the interest of the client to put them in touch with a very well-qualified accountant or a forensic accountant or a well-qualified financial professional or a well-qualified mediator or therapist, you know, that type of thing. We at Collaborative Financial Consulting, we pride ourselves that we are quarterbacks of an all-pro team. You know, we bring to the table connections with professionals that really have their heart in the game. And it's tough to find out there the people that really truly care about the financial outcome and the outcome of the divorce settlement and, you know, try to shed as little tears as possible.
So for those of you, those listeners out there who are thinking, well, you know what, I think I can just probably get through this. I mean, I think I kind of have a handle on it, and or I don't really have the time or the inclination to go out there and try to find somebody to help me out or whatever. What kinds of financial disasters have you seen with people who've just decided to go ahead and wing it? You know, who come to you and say, I should have probably gotten help, but I didn't. Here's where I'm at now. What kinds of disasters have you seen?
I've seen it all, you know, after all these years in the business. And, you know, I hear all the time, people come into my office, and after we talk for a couple hours and we get to know each other and I get to know their situation and they get to know me as an individual and where my moral compass points, and they get to know the services that we provide, they always say, Jason, where were you 3 years ago? Where were you 5 years ago? I wish I would have met you 5 years ago, or I wish I would have known you 10 years ago, because I have clients right now. I've got a particular client. She hired me 3 years ago. And her ex-husband has been trying to delay the divorce process so they can calculate his stock option plan. And he, over the previous 5 years, their divorce was going on 5 years before we even met. And he had been dragging this situation out with getting his stock options valued right. And the day I came along into the process, I said, this is not a difficult process on how to calculate the price of these stock options and what you should be able to get. And the attorney, he's juggling a dozen, you know, divorce cases, and he's not a financial analyst nor a financial planner, and he doesn't have the qualifications or the expertise to calculate how stock options can change over the course of time and how that will then impact the ultimate settlement. And so I was able to come in and like a missile, go straight for exactly what this particular client needed, what those numbers were, present those to the clients and get that wrapped up as quickly as possible. And it turned out to be the decision that now over the course of the last 3 years, we've earned, I don't even want to tell you the percent of rate of return we've made over that last 3 years, but she's nearly doubled her money because of the decision we made 3 years ago to get that number, you know, provided and wrap that divorce up. And it turned out to be over $1 million in her case that we were able to put into her pocket. And she's a lovely woman. I love her to death. She's not going to go into the ring and fight 10 rounds with you. She's all heart all the time. And so in her case, we were able to make truly a life changing. We had a life changing relationship from the get go because we were able to do that one particular thing.
Coming up, more from Susan, Rebecca, and Jason on avoiding divorce and financial disasters.
There is an emotional connection with that house. And I tell my clients all the time, they get so tired of hearing it. Emotions and finances are like oil and water, right? They do not mix. And those need to be parallel roads. Emotion Street and Finance Street need to be parallel. They can't intersect because when you start making, they can't be perpendicular. Yeah, once those streets start to converge and you're making emotional financial decisions, I don't know how many emotional decisions have turned out to be positive financial decisions in the long run.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including consciously healing and thriving during and after divorce with best-selling author David Essel.
Here's the number one question that we got to get a client to answer before if they're going to stay or leave. And this is a tough one for a lot of people to face. What is your role in the dysfunction of your marriage? Okay. Everyone avoids it. Everyone's projecting, pointing fingers. You know, my husband.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. You know, my husband's a dick because
it's all his fault.
I know.
It's all
right?
Her fault.
And now we return to today's show.
So there's an one of the mistakes then is, you know, not hiring the right people to look at the values or maybe do the right appraisals, something like that. You know, there's so many different types of assets that need to be evaluated sometimes in divorce. And, you know, one of the things that I see, I actually was just talking to somebody recently and her husband owns several restaurants. And apparently he's saying to her, I know the value of these restaurants. I can tell you the value. You don't need to hire somebody. Why are we going to get other people involved? We can do this ourselves. You don't want to spend that extra money. Well, of course. I mean, all she's got to do is spend a couple thousand dollars. However much a forensic accountant's going to charge. $5,000-$10,000 maybe, but you know, if she gets back a million, it's certainly a good return on her investment, right?
Absolutely. I'll give you, if you don't mind, I'll give you two examples of that for your listeners. One client I had over a couple of years ago, she was going through a divorce and her husband had a $500,000 wine collection, $1 million art collection. He had toys, you know, the
boy toys,
you know, he had the
different kind of boy toy. Different kind than Madonna had.
You got to clarify that. Especially in Los Angeles, and he decided that instead of giving, you know, the court system a full inventory of these assets, that he was going to, he donated, quote unquote, his $500,000 wine collection to the children's hospital because the children's hospital's one of his friends was on the board of directors of that organization. So he wanted, in his goal of avoidance,
I have to just point out the irony of donating wine
to a children's hospital. That's right. Talk about mind blown. My mind was blown. I said, I thought I've seen it all on how low somebody can stoop. And then I start going through the records and I start seeing all these assets being donated all of a sudden. This guy became the most philanthropic individual on the planet overnight.
He was a giver.
Yeah, overnight. And then I went crazy. And then that's when I was able to introduce that client to a forensic accountant. The forensic accountant was a little mad dog. I mean, went after that client, because the client should know better than to, you know, try to, you know, just pull a fast one. Is at the end of the day is all he was trying to do. And so
I have to tell you what I'm thinking of right now. If anybody ever watched The Office, there was an episode where Michael Scott was doing this whole charity fundraiser thing in the Dunder Mifflin offices. And he says, he's talking to the camera and he says, I love to do things for charity. It makes me so good. I'm really kind of a philanderer.
Well, that's right in keeping with our theme.
No, that's funny. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
When it comes to the tricks that people play, it's unfortunate. You know, we all three get to, you know, see this unfortunately way too often. That was just one example of a client that we were trying to help and be an advocate for, because she had no idea. You know, she had no idea that he would stoop that low. This is the father of her three children. They were together 25 years. She never thought that this person that she spent literally more than half.
And for those of you who are listening, there can be a clawback of assets like that, depending on what the situation was when they were donated, where in time they were donated, if they were marital, if it was before the filing, after the filing, or if they were non-marital, marital. So I don't want people to hear this story and think, oh no.
Well, right. Yeah. The issue is you got to find the fact that they did these things and,
right.
And correct. Present the evidence to claw it back. So.
Right. And in this case, you know, there was a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow because he, you know, it was obvious that all of a sudden over the course of a couple of weeks, this guy was donating millions of dollars worth of assets. I mean, the judge was on top of it.
Yeah, just like every husband gets a case of what I call SIDS in the middle of a divorce, sudden income deficiency syndrome.
Yeah. Or every breadwinner, whoever.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean.
Suddenly, the business atmosphere is
in the tank. Profiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to use that. That's the first time I've heard that one. That was good.
Yeah.
In keeping with like thinking of some of the big financial mistakes that we see people make, I know one of the ones that really I see over and over again is where a client comes through the door dead set with the just firm mindset that they are going to keep the marital residence, that they are going to keep that house. And they really, at that point in time, you know, this is early days, they've just decided to separate perhaps. They have no idea what their financial future looks like, but they get so set on that house being theirs. Is that, you know, a common pitfall that you see or a mistake that you see people make? And can you make some suggestions for our listeners on how to avoid that, how to keep an open mind or some of the things they might face if the house, keeping the house is something they want to do?
So, you know, the number one asset for a married couple, what do? They go out and buy a house together, right? It's an emotional connection you have with that house. You want to create deep roots in your community. You know, for those of you with children, what's the number one decision when buying a house? I want to be in a good school district, right? So there is an emotional connection with that house. And I tell my clients all the time, they get so tired of hearing it. Emotions and finances are like oil and water, right? They do not mix. And those need to be parallel roads. Emotion Street and Finance Street need to be parallel. They can't intersect because when you start making, they can't be perpendicular.
Yeah.
Once those streets start to converge and you're making emotional financial decisions, I don't know how many emotional decisions have turned out to be positive financial decisions in the long run, unless you're emotionally passionate about going after something, you know. But if you're making an emotional decision, instead of a rational financial decision, it's going to you're in for a long, tough slog. No matter whether it be your home or, you know, your investable assets or, you know, you name it, your art collection, whatever. We tell our clients all the time that we're analysts and we're going to do the numbers and we're independent. And even though we care and we have a big heart, we're not going to make emotionally based decisions on your future finances, because I tell my clients all the time, and they probably get tired of hearing this too. We want to make an efficient decision and a balanced decision. And so every recommendation we make to our clients is based on having an efficient decision. What are the numbers? What are the dollars and cents today, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? How does the decision you are going to make today going to affect your life in the next 10, 15, 20, 50?
And that's the thing that people really need to understand about divorce is that once that divorce decree is signed and that final judgment is entered, they're stuck with that. And then that, whatever it was that they either agreed to or that the judge ordered, is going to haunt them or be okay for them for the rest of their lives. It'll either set the tone for a positive new future or it will haunt them. And I love that analogy about the two roads, the emotional road and the rational road, you know, and they never should intersect. I think that's a great analogy, you know, because we talk about this emotional tax that people pay sometimes in divorce, and it could be other emotions, not just that they love their house, but it could be guilt. It could be anger, resentment. They want to, you know, punish.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Revenge.
Yeah, that part of the anger, right?
Yeah. And then it ends up costing them a whole lot more, or they just want it over with because they feel, you know, I see that more
so all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with women. And men are better, honestly, at keeping the emotion out of the decisions than women are. I mean, it makes us the nurturers. It makes us the more loving, warm, kind of, you know, maternal creatures. But it also is a hindrance to women when it comes to negotiating.
Well, I had a case where a man, in negotiating his divorce settlement, overgave, I would say, based on that emotional content. He was Mr. Whatever she wants, she can have. And in the end, it turned out he thought that by doing that, he'd win her back.
Oh.
And that was not what happened. She was not coming back. And she walked away from that divorce very happy. And he woke up, like Rebecca said, you know, a little while after the gavel came down. Yeah, wondering what the hell did I just do?
Yeah.
So that was a case where, you know, the emotion was not maybe a negative emotion. He was hopeful that by trying to be a good guy, this was going to help him. But that's just another point to your point, Jason, that, you know, those two roads, emotional and financial decisions, should never intersect.
Yeah, I love that. It should never be perpendicular. Perfect.
That's right. That's right.
So we're kind of coming to the end of our time. It went so fast.
It did.
I feel like we could have you on again because, you know, it really went so fast. But
it would always be my pleasure to come on.
One of the mistakes that we see is people not following through with their financial agreements or following through with making the financial changes that they need to make after the divorce. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that and the kinds of things they should be doing?
Absolutely. You know, for lack of a better word, we preach the foundations of comprehensive financial planning. And we tell our clients, you're starting a new life. This is a new journey for you. And so you have to start at the beginning. And the beginning is cash flow budgeting, because you've spent your, whether you're married 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you've spent these years under the assumption and understanding that things are joint. You've got a common goal, right? What is yours is theirs. What is theirs is yours, right? And so now you've got to separate that. You've got a plan for your individual life moving forward. And it starts with the building blocks, the foundation. When you're a baby, you got to crawl before you walk, before you run, right? Same thing with finances. You're going back to the baby stage in a lot of cases, and you need to kind of reset your mind to plan an individual path for yourself. And as you said, Rebecca, women are emotionally centered individuals, right? Whereas a lot of time men are not emotionally centered, right? Our makeup is different, right? And right. So we tell our clients, start with the cash flow, start with getting your credit and your debt under management, so to speak, or manageable, and then start a savings plan that will then turn into an investment plan that will be
very good point.
That will be focused on your goals now, and your journey that you're going on now individually instead of separately. A lot of times, there are kids involved, and there's no communication between the two exes, right? Or very little. And who's going to help the kids out for college? Who's going to help them out for even high school nowadays and even preschool now? And I mean, I got a client spending $30,000 on kindergarten. I mean, who's going to take care of these types of expenses? And so I tell my clients that when you've gone through a life of planning something jointly, and then now you've got to plan it individually, you've got to hit the reset button, and you want to protect yourself first and foremost. Protect your most valuable asset, you, and your ability to get up every day and go earn a living and take care of your family if you've got children. And then we start to make a plan at Collaborative Financial. We're planners, so we create unique custom plans for every client that walks through the door. There's nothing cookie cutter, as you both know, nothing cookie cutter about divorces nowadays.
No. Right. And from a practical point of view, make sure you separate out your accounts, close joint accounts, change beneficiaries.
Absolutely.
Transfer titles of things that are supposed to be transferred. Qualified domestic relations order to separate out retirement accounts, 401ks, things like that. That's a biggie.
Updating life insurance beneficiaries. I had a client that had a life insurance policy for years and years and years and years. He got married, got divorced, and I'd probably say we had about 19 meetings before he was finally, I was able to corner him and say, we've got to update this beneficiary, your ex-wife, who you haven't spoken with in 5 years. I'm sure she would love to have this if you get hit by a bus tomorrow. But
closed credit, joint credit cards. That's a big one.
Another big one. Yep. There's a lot of follow through post divorce. And
right.
I think people get so exhausted through the process that the divorce is finalized and they just go, oh, I'm done. I don't have to do anything more. But there is a lot of work post divorce that is dotting your I's and crossing your T's that is vitally important. And I know that people can work with their financial advisors and other consultants and their other team members to get those things done. But it is critically important to do those things.
Yeah, at Collaborative, what we do is we create a to-do list for the client and for us as the planner. And we're constantly talking on the phone, meeting in person, doing these Zoom calls, this new technology. And we're checking these things off of our to-do list so that we know that we are dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and we're doing it in a timely manner, which is the most important thing for us as financial planners. You don't want time to go by. I've got one client that she's to your point about the closing the credit cards, she's still got credit card problems from years ago, and also tax problems. You know, when you're going from filing a joint tax return and you've got joint tax debt from a couple of years ago, who now is responsible for that? And those are areas that obviously we would assist with.
So a lot of divorce mistakes and some methods for people to avoid those. So thank you, Jason, for joining us today. We will put all of your contact information in our show notes. And I know that our listeners can also reach out to your website, which is www.collaborativefc.com.
As in collaborativefinancialconsulting.com.
There you go. Yes.
You know you're at the right spot if you see me and Carrie Kasem at the top, because the first thing you see is about the radio show. But thank you very much. I appreciate it, Rebecca and Susan. You guys are pros all the way around, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.